In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From Matthew chapter 4, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. Those dwelling in the region in the shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. And when Jesus calls Simon Peter, Andrew, James, and John, all fishermen of the Sea of Galilee, he says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Thus far the text. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today our focus is twofold. What does it mean that we heed the call of Jesus, all of us, men, women, young people, and children, to come follow Jesus? What does it mean that he calls his pastors and his church to be fishers of men? Meaning, the gospel is like a net, the church is like a boat, and the gospel is cast out by the fishermen, and people are brought into the boat of the church. God in Jesus calls some to be pastors and teachers to guide the church, but calls all of us to our daily vocations and calling to participate in this work of being fishers of men. And secondly, we will look at the beautiful God-given gift of life. From the moment of conception in our mother's womb until old age, with this insert that you have this morning that you can look at for a moment here. On the front it says, "He took them in his arms and blessed them." And on the back, "Hands that knit, arms that hold," describing the work of Lutherans for Life, how God knit us together in our mother's womb as you see this beautiful baby, and Jesus touches us through word and sacrament, like he had his hands upon these children and blessed them. Come follow Jesus. He will make us fishers of men and defenders of life. In order to do that, let's begin, first of all, to talk about the great light that has dawned on mankind, then what it means to be a fisher of men, and conclude with what it means to be a defender of the God-given gift of life. So let's begin with Jesus in Galilee. The great light has dawned. John the Baptist had recently been arrested and put into prison. And now Jesus, as he's beginning his ministry, is in Galilee. He has moved from Nazareth, his hometown, to the little fishing village of Capernaum, where he would now live, and that would be his base of operations. I've been to Capernaum. You can visit this beautiful little town. The seashore is still there where Jesus walked, and a short distance away is Peter's house as they're excavating it, and the synagogue where Jesus would have worshipped and spent time in this fishing village of Capernaum. Thus was fulfilled what Isaiah the prophet wrote in the Old Testament lesson 700 years ahead of time. "The old land of Zebulun and Naphtali, which is now called Galilee, by that Sea of Galilee which empties into the Jordan River, Gentiles and Jews who had been walking in darkness now have seen a great light. They had been in the shadow of death. Now they have life in Jesus." In Jesus, a light and life has dawned. Jesus himself said, didn't he, "I am the light of the world. He who walks in me will never walk in darkness, but has the light of life." Jesus gives you spiritual illumination. How does he do that? How does he rescue us from darkness and bring us into light? How does he free us from death and bring us to life? Through his preaching. He preached the holy word of God that gives us eternal life. And in Jesus' preaching, he said, first, repent of the sins of thought, word, and deed. Repent of the darkness, of our own sin, death, the devil, and hell looming over mankind. Repent of all sin and believe that the kingdom of God is at hand in Jesus, in whom we have holiness, life, and the gift of heaven. Many of you have been Christians all of your life. Maybe some of you part of your life. Maybe some of you are still looking into it. But whatever your situation in life, and whatever your spiritual pilgrimage may be, Jesus is the great light that has dawned. He is the brightest light of all. For the star that proclaimed his coming to the Magi at Epiphany, as they bowed down and worshipped him and presented gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Because Jesus was the Son of God in eternity and became the Son of Man in the Virgin Mary, he is the only light that forever shines brightly. This eternal light here in our chancel, which never goes out, is a symbol of that great light that has dawned on you and me. Rejoice today that you were not walking in darkness, but the Word of Christ gives you light. You can see truth the way God sees it. You can see Jesus as your brother and God as your Father through the light that has dawned. If that great light has dawned, then secondly, let's consider what it means to be fishers of men. Jesus, who is that light now, is beginning his ministry, is walking by the Sea of Galilee. And the first four of his disciples were all fishermen. Two of them, Simon Peter and Andrew, were casting their net into the lake to gather in the catch. They were fishermen. He says to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they left their nets, and they followed Jesus. And didn't they follow Jesus? They followed Jesus the rest of their life. They followed him through his entire 3-year ministry. They saw Jesus crucified on the cross for our justification. They saw the risen Christ and saw the marks and even ate with him. They followed Jesus their entire life. And then going further, Jesus calls two more brothers, James and John, who were with their father Zebedee. They were mending their nets, for at the end of the day, you would mend the nets and let them dry out. He also says to them, "Come follow me." And they now have a new fishing trade from heaven. They left the boat. They left their father, who was a wealthy man and had hired men to help him. And they, too, followed Jesus all of their days. They became fishers of men. They would proclaim to all the world, and some of them wrote some of the books in the New Testament, that in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the world has been accounted righteous and is declared holy already through the blood of Christ. And in his glorious resurrection, he says, "Whoever believes in me has life and light, because I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved." That is the message the church has proclaimed for 2,000 years. The message does not change. We may use all the media that we can to proclaim it, but the message is always the same. Repent of all sin and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. The kingdom of heaven is present in the King, Jesus. If he's the light of the world, and if he calls his church to be fishers of men, then how does he enable us to do that? Well, Jesus teaches, preaches, and heals, still today. Jesus went throughout Galilee teaching in the synagogues. They would unroll the scripture, and he would teach them from God's word. You have been taught in Sunday school, in Bible class. We teach the children in Trinity Lutheran School in child care. We teach the teenagers in Lutheran Youth Fellowship, the college students in Lutheran Student Fellowship, and bring the gospel to the international community in English as a second language. Jesus is using you and me to teach his word to people today. His teaching is continuing. Jesus preached and proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom. from this pulpit, from pulpits on this church corner for over 110 years, every Sunday for 110 years and longer, on this church corner, a pastor has proclaimed at Trinity Lutheran Church this same gospel of the kingdom that you are hearing right now, that your parents heard, your grandparents heard, and your great-grandparents heard, and with God's grace, hopefully your children and grandchildren will ever hear that same message. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. We have been justified by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. You are in a right relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. In that, you can rejoice and hold on to is the anchor of your soul. Yes, Jesus also healed every disease and affliction among the people. His fame spread everywhere because He was healing the sick, those who had diseases, pains, demon-possessed, epileptics, paralytics. He healed them in great crowds from Galilee, Decapolis, which means the 10 cities. Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan followed Him. And indeed, Jesus grants us healing if He wills, as we pray for healing for our bodies and souls in whatever situation we are in. But His healing is giving us a glimpse of heaven, where in heaven the blind will see, the deaf will hear, and the lame will walk, and we will be completely healed in the New Jerusalem in heaven. So if Jesus is the great light, and if He has called us in our lives as disciples in His church to be fishers of men, how do we, in the midst of a culture of death, hold forth the culture of life? Annually, we focus on this issue of life, on Life Sunday. Jesus gives us life, physical life for our bodies, spiritual life with faith in Jesus Christ, and eternal life in heaven. Therefore, we must speak out boldly in defense of all God-given life from the moment of conception even unto old age. The fifth commandment, thou shalt not kill, means that God created life and we must respect that gift of life. But we live in a culture of death. An example of that is January 22nd, 1973. The Roe versus Wade decision, which made abortion legal. This comes from a culture of death. But we are Christians and understand that no matter what the situation, we honor God's gift of life and bring mercy and love and hope to all in any kind of need. By the way, this is the test of our generation. It is fine for us to talk about all those Germans in Germany and the Nazis and what was done there and the Holocaust with the Jews. It's fine for us to talk about some genocide in some country far away, and we ought to speak against it. But we're living in the United States of America. This is our time to speak for life now. Will we rise to the challenge before us? I think we will. Meaning that we will speak against abortion, which is killing a baby in the womb, and instead stand up for adoption so these babies can live. We will speak against infanticide, which is killing a child after the child has already been born, and stand up for mercy for the disabled, for whatever need a person might have. We will speak against suicide, which is killing one's own self, and instead stand up for a godly self-identity. Who I am in Christ in my baptism makes me valuable no matter what anyone else thinks of me. We will stand against genocide, the killing of whole races of people, and stand up for all of God's children of all nations, races, and colors of skin, redeemed by Christ. And we will oppose euthanasia, which is killing the feeble at the end of life, and instead stand up for dignity and mercy for the elderly and all who are in any kind of need. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we proclaim to anyone whose conscience is bothering them because of the sins of their past, that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in holy baptism, God clothed us with the righteousness of Christ. All your sins are washed away through the blood of Christ. And in your baptism, in the name of the triune God, the cross of Christ is the power that transforms our lives each and every day through his cross and glorious resurrection. Remember this in conclusion. The culture of death and the unbelieving world will always consider the word of the cross folly. Unbelievers laugh at everything I have said to you today and think it's a joke. The word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but we are Christians and we have been saved. And we know that the cross of Christ is the power of God. In weakness we are raised up. In death we have life. In our Lord Jesus Christ, may that light shine brightly in your life. May Jesus use you to follow him and serve as a fisher of men. And may we boldly, speaking the truth with love, be a defender of all of life, given us by God as a precious gift. God grant that we rise to the challenge of our generation in our time. God grant this for Jesus' sake. Amen. May the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.